Welcome into this instant reaction podcast on Sikkim365.com following Baylor's 55-28 loss to number 13 Utah. Very disappointing effort by the Bears. I'm going to go through the game pretty quickly and then just give my general thoughts because once again, Baylor just unable to come up with a big win, unable to win at home. This has become a reoccurring theme during the Dave Aranda era, and just this just feels like another data point in the direction of where it feels like things are going and how inevitable this has become. So let's just go through the game really quickly. Baylor really started off strong on the defensive end, which was rather surprising for me. The Bears forced two punts in a row to start the game, only gave up 20 yards of offense and eight plays on Utah's first two drives, but Baylor ends up in a 0-0 tie anyways. And part of that was due to Sire Robertson being inaccurate on the opening drives. He had a missed throw to Michael Trigg on the first drive of the game that might have been a touchdown, should have been a huge explosive play. He had another miss to Michael Trigg that probably should have been caught by Trigg, but again, another misconnection there. He was inaccurate on a few throws to Josh Cameron as well, a missed field goal by Connor Hawkins, and you're sitting there thinking Baylor should be up at least 10-0 or something along those lines, and instead it's 0-0. Utah gets the ball back, and Utah goes 10 plays, 76 yards, touchdown. Then Baylor gets the ball. Again, missed throws by Sawyer and then an interception that's returned for a touchdown for Utah. And boom, just like that, you're down 14-0. So another slow start, which has become commonplace for this team. And it's really unfortunate because it was all self-inflicted. They looked really sharp on defense. They were making some plays. They gave the offense every opportunity to start fast and every opportunity to build a lead and put Utah in a hole on the road, make them feel some sort of pressure. Couldn't do that. And Baylor honestly didn't make Utah feel much pressure the entire night, which we're going to get to. Baylor responds with an 8-play, 75-yard drive. There's a lot of explosive plays in here for Baylor, and there should have been more. I mean, Cole Wilson was open the entire game. Baylor's receivers beat man-to-man coverage a ton in this game. Josh Cameron ended up scoring that touchdown to get the Bears on the board. Utah responded 3-play, 75-yard drive. You're going to hear that a lot because that's what Utah did a ton of, was quick scoring drives, quick explosives with the run game. Baylor just never forced them to throw the football. They never put Devin Dampier in a position where he had to make a throw. And honestly, that was great for Utah. They were able to just run the football a ton. They got in their backup, Bird Ficklin, who was just running all over the place on Baylor. It was a smart game plan for Utah. And they realized it after the first couple drives when they were kind of forcing Dampier to throw the football. And then they were like, what are we doing? Why are we doing this? Run the football. And that's exactly what they did. Baylor would punt, Utah would punt, Bears would get a field goal, and then 2-play, 75-yard touchdown drive for Utah, 28-10. Utah's up, and I don't want to say that was game over, but it certainly felt that way. Felt like the direction this was heading. That was right before halftime. And then the Bears would answer. They went 11 plays, 51 yards, could not score a turnover on downs, but then ultimately they do end up getting a touchdown right before half. Nice job saving some time there, and that allowed Baylor to go 2 plays, 55 yards, another Josh Cameron touchdown on that drive to make it 28-17 at halftime, which I felt like you're somewhat in the game. It doesn't feel like you're going to make many stops in this game, but when you look at it, your defense only gave up 3 touchdowns in that first half, which is a lot, but if you don't throw that pick six and if you convert on a few plays here and there, you're probably up at halftime. And that's kind of a thing that we've talked about way too much with this team. It's a lot of could have, should have, but didn't. And that continues to be the theme here. Move forward to the third quarter. The Bears get an immediate stop, and Baylor has to settle for a field goal on their next drive to make it 28-20. And you're thinking, okay, did the defense change some stuff? Is there anything they're going to be able to do in this game? You know, Baylor ends up kicking a field goal, and you felt like that was costly because they really needed a touchdown. Utah answered with a 2-play 85-yard drive. Once again, another long touchdown run by Ficklin, the backup quarterback, for 74 yards. Baylor turns it over on downs, and the route was just completely on from there. 8-play, 54-yard touchdown for Utah. Interception by Sawyer Robertson. 3-play, 9-yard touchdown for Utah. It's 49-20. Just a complete beatdown. I mean, it continues to get worse. Baylor scores garbage time touchdown. Utah responds with a 10-play, 90-yard drive and a touchdown. And then the Bears are stopped in the red zone trying to score a touchdown to kind of just make it look a little better than it was. But ultimately, 55-28, Baylor is crushed at home. And by the end of it, it certainly felt like this was an absolute beating by Utah. They had 381 rushing yards, 9.1 yards per carry, 5 rushing touchdowns. They only had to throw the ball 16 times in this game. Their starter was 6 of 13 for 80 yards. That's it. That's all he did in this game. It was literally the same exact blueprint as what Auburn did, except Dampier even had to do less because he only ran for 23 yards in this game. I mean, Baylor didn't impact him really at all. They didn't impact Utah's offense at all as a defense, really, outside of a few drives early on in the game. They just weren't really impacting anything, and Utah was getting everything that they wanted in the run game. Bird Ficklin, the backup quarterback, had 166 yards, 2 touchdowns. Wishon Parker, the starting running back, had 129 yards and a touchdown. They were just all over the place, running the football, dominating up front, moving Baylor's defensive line. The Bears just, I mean, they got moved again, and they looked soft up front again. The front seven got dominated. You had safeties missing their angles once again, over-pursuing, running pass plays, giving up huge holes, running out of gap integrity, defensive linemen missing tackles, linebackers missing tackles. You had a safety get literally thrown out of bounds by a backup quarterback, and then he just kept running for a touchdown, and no one that play just will drive you crazy. So Bird Ficklin throws Tyler Turner out of bounds. Turner misses the tackle, and he's running down the field, and you look and you go, whoa, it looks like a Baylor DB is about to catch up to Ficklin here. Who's that guy who's giving all the effort? Oh no, it's Baylor's 290-pound defensive lineman is outrunning every single defensive back on this Baylor football team to go and try to make a play. And that was all heart by Jackie Marshall, but it's just like, man, where are the other secondary guys running and following this play to try to tackle a guy in the red zone? Didn't happen. Utah didn't even hit the red zone until late in the fourth quarter. They just were scoring all their touchdowns from very far away. That was just another very disappointing play of a just whole conundrum of defensive miscues once again, which we've seen all season long. Utah exploited it, just like every team really has this year. Sawyer Robertson ends up with 430 yards, 3 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. The numbers, okay, 430 yards, that's great, but he had a pick 6. His other touchdown was returned inside the 10-yard line, so he basically gave 2 touchdowns to Utah, and he only completed 50% of his passes. It just wasn't good enough, and honestly, early in the game, he had to hit on those early ones because it could have given Baylor a chance to, again, put some pressure on Utah, which they were unable to do the entire game. At the running back room, Bryson Washington had 14 carries for 97 yards. He didn't play a ton late in the game because the game was out of reach, but I think this was the best he looked all year, which was encouraging, but not nearly enough from the rushing attack. Only 133 yards on the ground for the Bears. The receiving group was awesome. I mentioned how well they were just destroying man-to-man coverage in this game. Josh Cameron, 13 receptions for 165 yards and 2 touchdowns. He was phenomenal in this game. This is the kind of game that's great for him because he's so physical, strong at the catch point. He showed that all game long. Meanwhile, Ashton Hawkins had 7 catches for 119 yards. He did get ejected late as he got into a fight with one of the Utah guys, but he was really good in this game. Cole Wilson somehow only had 4 receptions for 87 yards and a touchdown. In that first half, he should have at least had like 150 yards receiving because he was open and Sawyer missed him multiple times. He ends up with a good game, but it felt even more impactful because he was wide open the whole game. Utah even had to put their best cornerback on him in the second half because they just had no answer for him early on in the game in their cover one scheme. Michael Trigg had 3 for 42. Again, should have been a bigger game for him. If Sawyer hits him on that first one, that's probably another 50 yards add to this total. And if he makes the catch that he dropped, it's probably another 30 yards. So he left a lot on the table in this one, and that was unfortunate to see as the game moved on. Defensively, not a lot to talk about. I'm not really going to bring up too many of the defensive plays in a game where you're giving up 381 rushing yards. You're not forcing Dampier to make a throw, which is the key to beat Utah. Again, if he's throwing the football 13 times, you're pretty much toast. And so now you're sitting here. Baylor loses another Big 12 game by multiple scores. 55-28 is an absolute beating. And by the end of this game, it certainly felt like Utah beat Baylor by that much. And it felt like if the game had kept going, it would have just gotten worse and worse for the Bears. And it just was really unfortunate. Again, it was cool to see the crowd get into it. You saw the fans go up to the top deck, which was cool to see, with the towels, taking their shirts off, really trying to get the crowd into it. It felt like it helped, honestly, for a little while in there. And then obviously the talent of Utah just won out. That's a really good Utah team. I think we all understand that. But the truth is just this Baylor team hasn't been good enough this year. And the high expectations that everyone had coming into the season to end up like this is really tough to see. And Baylor's 5-5 now. They got two really tough matchups coming up, as Arizona's now 7-3. Houston's 8-2. It just doesn't really feel like there's going to be a lot of momentum for Baylor to finish this season strong. And now with everything that happened to Mac Rhodes in the past week, with him being gone, and Baylor is just kind of left in a weird position where, you know, who's going to make decisions about anything going forward? Are they going to hire an AD quickly? Is Matt going to come back? What's going to happen with all of these things? It's all up in the air, and decisions have to be made. They have to be made now. Baylor has to get ahead of this. Baylor has to figure out a way to turn the direction of this program, because right now, it's not in a good spot. It's not where you want to be when you're kind of in the midst of fans not wanting to cheer for the team. You're in the midst of fans turning away from the program. You got to figure out a way to turn that around. And if you do end up hiring a new AD quickly, at least he can make a decision on the future of the program. If you end up, you know, if that doesn't happen, then, you know, Baylor's just going to be sitting here trying to figure things out. And the rumors are, or the reports have been, that Mac's going to come back in 4 weeks. Again, I don't see that happening. And Baylor doesn't have 4 weeks to wait on anything. With this kind of coaching carousel and with the decisions that have to be made, it's just a really tough position for the Bears to be in. And being in that stadium, it just becomes more and more difficult when you look around as the fourth quarter is beginning and there's just no one in there anymore. And Baylor's down by 4 touchdowns. It just was a really tough sight to see once again for this team on what has just been one of those years where things just aren't going right. This team isn't performing to the level that they needed to. The coaching really hasn't improved. The development hasn't improved. And you're just left wondering kind of what could have been on this season. And now looking forward to the future of things, it's just really tough to see the bright side of what's going on now. And who's going to make these decisions? What are these decisions going to end up being? In today's age of college football, that is not a great spot to be. That's it for today. Thanks, everybody, for listening. This has been an Instant Reaction Podcast on Sikkim365.com.